Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning. Monday, April the 20th, 2026. 4:20:26, 18 and a half minutes past the hour. A little bit of a chilly Monday morning here in the Marion area, about 33 degrees. And by the way, it is 66 degrees here in the studio. 65 when I got here this morning, so certainly not a warm day in the WGH studios. Well, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping this morning. I hope everybody got to see the piece on Mary Ellen Withrow yesterday that aired on NBC4. Sunday Briefing with Colleen Marshall. It was on 10 to 10:30 yesterday morning. It was like old-time television. I actually got up, turned it on, and watched it live as it was on. No DVRing, no looking for it on YouTube. I watched it as it happened, and it was a great piece, and I'm pretty sure Mary Ellen was very pleased with it, and just a very nice piece. And I'll tell you something, as good as a piece as it was kind of funny, because if you've been listening to this show for years now that we've been doing it, Mary Ellen has a funny thing about her age. Now, here's why she has the funny thing about her age, and she's very entitled to having this, because ever since she got into politics, gosh, since 1969, it seems like every article they ever do on her, no matter what the subject matter is, they always put her age in the article. And they don't do that with other people. You know, years ago when we did the groundhog outside, and the groundhog was Miss Ohio, in that article they mentioned me, they mentioned Miss Ohio, they mentioned Mary Ellen. The only person's age that they put in there is Mary Ellen's. So yesterday, they're doing the interview. Colleen's doing the interview with Mary Ellen. And at the very end of the interview, there's a little section in which it says, and if you're wondering, Mary Ellen Withrow is such and such years old. Well, they got the age wrong, and they actually added years to her, or a year to her age. Now, that's not a huge deal, and Mary Ellen hasn't said anything to me about it, but it's kind of comical that not only in print, on television as well, they mention her age, and unfortunately got the age wrong and actually made her older than she actually is, which at this point in her life, I don't know that there's any need to do. So it was kind of funny. It was just something. It's always about the age. I don't know why. Does anybody have any idea why you think that is? Because this is not something that's new. This has been going on a long time. Why in the world, every time that they run a story on her, do they mention the age? Now, we could say now because it's a long life, but why were they doing that, you know, 20 and 30 years ago? I don't understand it. I've never understood it. In any event, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Did anybody else get to see the piece yesterday? It is available on the internet. If you go to the NBC4 website and search Sunday Briefing, so it's there if you'd like to watch it, and it's well worth the watch. Certainly Marion history, history for women, and history in general. 740-383-9944 if anybody got to see it or is interested in that piece of business, or if you have any ideas why the age is always mentioned. I don't understand that at this particular point. But the age was wrong yesterday. What 1 year was added to the age? Okay. Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about the grass here for a second, because last week I mowed the yard on Thursday, which was actually the first time I'd mowed the yard this particular season. And I thought, oh, this is great. I'll have the grass mowed, and it'll look nice, and everything will be great. The grass is already growing to the point to where I'm getting those dandelions and little white things that kids like to blow on and blow all the they're not petals really, but blow all the white stuff off, and isn't that all fun? What do they call those? I'm trying to think of what they even call those. But those are already popping up again, and it was just Thursday that I mowed the yard, and here it is Monday. So it doesn't take long with all the rain that's been coming down, and I guess the temperature situations that we've had. I also do want to mention, if you hear something in the background while we're doing this show, it's because they're working on the roof of this building after the rainstorms and the windstorms we had earlier. Well, I guess it was earlier this month. Did some tile. I don't really know what the damage is on the roof. I've never been on the roof. But I think it did some tile damage. So they're doing some work to fix those problems on the roof here. Hopefully we don't lose power or anything like that. But that work is being done. I heard Linda's show lost power last week, but I think she was able to rebound quite well from that particular program. Okay, well, City Council meets tonight. City Council committee meetings. And it sounds like, again, they're going to talk some more about extending the city council terms to 4 years and doing it in a staggered way, which is interesting. It was brought up 2 weeks ago. And, you know, as I said that time, I really don't understand the reasons given for doing this. I guess the idea is so there is not a whole new council with all new people, but I don't know when the last time that happened was. Usually, a council does not all get wiped out in 1 year. I mean, the last elections we just had in November, what are there? One new council person was elected? No, two. There were two new council people elected that night, Dan Clark and Scott Kreider. So I'm not really sure why the push now to have four-year terms, because basically everybody on council last time got a four-year term, or more than that. I think Aaron Rollins has been there longer than 4 years, and everybody else eventually was knocked up to a four-year term, except Scott Kreider and Dan Clark. So I'm not really sure the reason being given for these terms. Never was an issue before, but apparently is an issue now. I don't know when experience became an issue. You know, we talk about it, we've talked about it for years now in the auditor's office, probably 5-6 years. We've talked about it with the mayor. We've talked about it with the city council. Why are we not getting any experience anymore? Or is it really experience, or is it something else? I'm not really sure. I think there's probably more to it than experience and being tenured. I don't know. We'll have to see. If anybody's got any thoughts, again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 on this very chilly Monday morning in April. Okay, well, what else is going on tonight at City Council? Well, apparently they're going to have the decorum discussion. Well, I guess this will be the first time. I was about to say again, but the first time it was brought up, it just kind of went by the wayside. There was really no discussion about it. It's on the agenda again tonight, so I would assume that there's going to be some discussion about it tonight. But I'm not really sure what this is really all about. I don't think anybody has really said what, why this decorum discussion is being held. Because for years now, during city council meetings, people have certainly expressed their opinion in a very, should we say, forceful and loud way. You know, that's nothing that's new. So I'm not sure why all of a sudden decorum has become a big issue, enough of an issue that it would be discussed on the agenda, but, you know, here we are. I guess we'll see what that discussion wields tonight and see why we're having that discussion. But really, that's about it at this particular point. I guess we will still be lacking a council person tonight, as the new city council person that was elected last week had to resign due to a conflict, their job with ODOT. So we'll see how that all shakes out. 740-383-9944. And, I'm being told here, dandelion seed head are those white little flowers that I was talking about. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. I missed the decorum discussion on the agenda. I saw liquor license transfers, but I guess I must have just skimmed over that.
Well, I heard Adam read it this morning, and I thought he said decorum.
Well, he may have. I didn't, when I just saw the liquor license things, I didn't bother reading what the fine print said, because usually that just says, like, matters not on the agenda or whatever. I just scanned the big things, and I didn't see that. If they're going to have that again, that's interesting. I wasn't for sure if I was going to go tonight or not, and if they're going to talk about that, then I might have to grace the place with my presence.
Well, I'm interested to see if anybody... the two things that I said I think will be of great interest tonight is the continuing conversation about extending terms of council, which I, you know, the reason given last time was when a new council gets elected, but, you know, only two new council members got elected last time around, so I'm not really sure why that's an issue all of a sudden, and I can't think of a year where all new council people were elected. I mean, if they're talking about the period before that, yes, there was a lot of new council people, but Jason Schauber was there, Ayers Ratliff was there, Aaron Rollins was there. They were all reelected. It's not like it was a brand new council. Well, Pollock. Pollock was not new.
But they ran because we needed change, remember?
Yeah, but I
what is there?
Well, I guess I understand. Everybody, I think, runs on change. I guess what I don't understand is the theory is you don't want a whole new council because it does take a while. There's a learning curve there. But, you know, it used to be that you would ask other council people who have been there before, or you would go down and watch council before it got started. I'm not sure what's different now, and it's awful weird timing because the council that was just elected only has two new members, so I'm not sure what the problem is.
Well, they need to solidify their power, their time in office, because they might see their time as being limited. I mean, the term political suicide's already been used up there. So I will say this only because it's not, I mean, I got a letter in the mail, so it's not a public matter and other people, or a private matter, and other people have been invited as well. But I received a letter from Lois Fisher, and she has invited the people that ran for charter committee, commission, whatever, charter commission candidates the last time to meet after election day and talk about possibly leading a citizen-led charter ballot initiative instead of it coming from city council this time. So maybe that's something that the citizens can decide instead of city council proposing it as their idea. I don't think anything extending their terms or giving them more power or changing the structure of government should come from them, because I don't believe there's a lot of trust in them right now, so I don't believe there's going to be a big buy-in unless this is actually from the community-driven.
Well, that's a very unique thing, because the two things that strike me about that right off the bat here are that's going to be a very eclectic group of people meeting.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, that's quite the group of people who ran for charter last time around. And some of those people are current or former elected officials.
And so, I should be clear that Lois Fisher says in this letter, please know I do not intend to lead this initiative. Rather, I am simply requesting this initial meeting. Should there be interest in moving forward, leadership can be determined collectively at that time.
Well, that's interesting. And the other thing that strikes me about this is the whole reason given last time was the situation with the auditor. Well, the auditor is what I kept hearing.
Well, yes, but the people wanted it. The people kept coming. Because I even said, why are you pushing this so hard right now? You know, because we were getting ready to, we weren't getting ready to have an election. Why are you pushing this so hard right now? You know, because remember Mike Neff was on his way out the door. Like, he resigned shortly thereafter, and he was the one that was pushing this so hard. And, you know, and I remember Lois saying at that time then that she was one of the citizens that wanted it and had...
Right, but now her reasoning was all because of the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that problem...
I would think that... If I were to support a charter, there would be other things in the charter. But this, again, would just be to form the charter commission. So, you know, that would... I would need to hear more before I decided my take on it. But if it's going to turn into what it turned in last time with a bunch of elected officials and city employees, county employees, whatever, then no, I'm not interested in that.
Well, I think the charter failed last time, essentially... because people did not understand it. There was no promotion to pass it. I did not see one yard sign anywhere. And there wasn't a really good explanation given. I just don't think people knew what it was.
That's the reason behind the citizen-led initiative, is because there would be, you know, probably fundraising efforts and things like that for signs, for advertising, that sort of stuff, whereas the city took that upon themselves to put on the ballot. They can't use city money to advertise it.
No, but I would have thought people who were running for it would have...
I did.
Yeah, but I
was told that I ran a very successful anti-charter campaign. That's what I was told.
Well, anti-charter is good, but I don't think there was any chance of that ever passing because... Now, I would not have said that.
The person that told me that wasn't being nasty or sarcastic. They told me, good job on running an anti-charter campaign.
Right. But I don't think it ever would have passed. I honestly could never see that passing because I think people are already so unhappy with what's going on in government. They would.
Yes.
They're so confused about what this would actually do.
And we're too afraid to give away the little bit of power that we have right now to see if things could be better because we see how bad things are and are afraid they could get worse.
Well,
that's my perspective.
Well, and also the money. I mean, somebody's got to pay for this.
Well, and that's another thing. Had we passed that last year, we would be guaranteed to be spending $60,000 to $80,000 on the charter process, which might not even pass. But we would have spent another $60,000 to $80,000 this year on that process.
Well, this is true. So I don't know. That whole thing was just an interesting period in time, an interesting 2-month period in time, and obviously did not go anywhere. Didn't even come close to passing. So you know, I think that should say a lot. If it was close, I would say, well, you know, this is something that people are interested in. But it wasn't.
Well, and I'm not saying that as a citizen that I'm not interested in having a charter for the city of Marion. I don't think it would be a bad idea. I think it would benefit us. As I said, when I put my name in there, I don't think that it needs to be well written and it needs to address more than one issue, because if you go around to other charter cities, most cities in Ohio are charter. We're actually one of the few that are not. But if you look at their charter structures, it's much more than just the city auditor and the city treasurer. It's the entire structure of the government. And what I don't trust is the people that are in power right now. I don't trust changing the structure of government we have right now. We have the opportunity. We know what our ability is to remove them. We can remove them every 2 years by election if we can get someone to run against them. We give them 4 years, we're stuck. I mean, let's say year two and a half, they go haywire. We're stuck with them for another year and a half, or we've got to do the whole recall process.
Well, at least if this idea of 4-year staggered terms does pass council, it will be on the ballot. People will vote for it. So, you know, That'll be what it'll be.
I don't think 2-year staggered terms would be a bad idea. I don't think that would be a bad idea. But yes, the decorum discussion is on here again. I remember last week, or 2 weeks ago, though, that Ralph Smith said they didn't have all the information and that they would consider that a first reading, even though I didn't know we had readings in committee. But yeah, it's on there. My interest in going tonight was in the zoning and annexation thing, the land down on that got me called names by Sean Barr.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to discuss that tonight as well. They're going to start taking the first steps. Well, it says potential legislation, which that also seems strange to me that we're discussing potential legislation now when they already had the whole conversation last year in July at a church. But the state of Ohio emailed me back on that because I told them I was going to file a complaint. You were there. I filed my complaint, and the state of Ohio emailed me back, and the state of Ohio is taking a look at how that whole situation was handled. The state of Ohio also told me exactly how to, which I already knew, when they do these things behind closed doors, they're Open Meeting Act violations, and I know that a citizen has to take the city to court. It's called a self-help law. You have to be the one to go to court to get that enforced. It's a civil action. So I already knew that, but I needed to put that in there to tell them what happened. You know, they were over here. They've already decided this a year ago, and now here we are. And the one person whose vote was needed to push it through is friends with the person that wants the land annexed. So the state of Ohio knows all about this now. The state of Ohio is going to take a look at it. And the state of Ohio told me how to take the city of Marion to court, which I already knew how, but the state of Ohio auditor told me how to take the city of Marion to court to get them to stop their little backroom deals.
Well, you know what's interesting to me is
I just want to say, Scott, the state of Ohio does not think that I'm a stupid bitch.
Well, I don't...
I wanted to put that out there.
Well, that's a whole... I don't think
I've written them 8 reports about this city, and all 8 reports have been investigated or are still in the process of being investigated. I've got the documentation for all of them. I've got Mark Russell behind writing reports to the state of Ohio justifying his decisions and the things that he says in city council meetings. So I am not stupid.
No, and I don't think that ever should have been said at city council. I don't think that should have been done. And when most people are attacking other people, it's mainly because they don't like what they're saying. It doesn't have anything to do with their real feelings toward them. I don't know. It's you know, people lash out, and it's certainly not right.
They are still discussing it, though. We spent $26,000 of county money. They're going to say, well, no city money was spent. I don't know if they realize that we all live in Marion County as well, but county money was spent to clean up that land, and here we are going to have the discussion. You know, is it such a deal, such a situation, that if we don't annex this land, that they're not going to let us annex it? They're just going to change their mind and say, nope, you can't annex our land now because there's no one else to take their land. We are the only option. So really, instead of kissing their behinds, they should be kissing ours to see if we want their land. And I'll tell you what, anybody that's listening, I'm going to fight you every step of the way on this because you are going to ruin our sewer system by putting a store at the end of a street that already floods. And now we're going to have all the rainwater runoff from an entire parking lot going into our sewer system in an area that already floods when it rains.
Well, you know, I would still like to know what prompted this decorum discussion.
I'm thinking the federal lawsuit that's getting ready to be talked settlement in May 27th might have sparked this. And I've got my little happy ass romance shirt on today. It's 4:20. But I'm going to tell Bill Dichtel, too. Kim Mayer got up there last week, started talking about something, wanted to hand something out. If this is a lawsuit, this isn't the appropriate place to talk about it. Bill Dichtel, I like you, dude, but you need to back up. Because city council is the one place where residents can go talk about anything they wanted to talk about. If I wanted to talk about aliens landing in my backyard, I could for at least a minute or two until they told me, okay, well, there's nothing we can do to help you with aliens in your backyard. But if I wanted to discuss it, I could. They just need to understand they've got to listen to what we say, whether they like it or not.
Well, as I said before, what is always strange to me, what has been strange to me, is maybe there were a few years where people weren't coming up there complaining to this degree. But when I first started covering city council, and for many, many years, there were two men. Everybody knew their names. They came to every city council meeting, more or less. They came to every county commissioner meeting, more or less. And they would get up there and do things like this. They would tell them what they were doing wrong. They would accuse them of doing things wrong. They would sit in parking lots and make sure that the watch the city bus not do anything. You know, so
I just happened to catch the city bus not doing anything or those sort of things. Like, I just happened to catch the U.S. Marshals doing a felony warrant raid the other day. I didn't go out looking for that.
No, I guess what I'm
saying
is this is not new. This is not a new thing.
It is for the people in office.
Well, maybe for these
not used to this level of scrutiny.
Right, but it's not a new thing, and it's not something that's never happened before. So I don't know why all of a sudden, you know, I would have thought we would have developed a thicker skin over time, especially since these men were very honestly, I think they were harsher than anything that happens
they
now.
They actually name called.
Oh, they did.
People idiots and
but they also,
all sorts of things.
They knew parliamentary procedure, and they would tell them exactly what they were doing wrong with parliamentary procedure.
Oh, you mean like when they call the question while there's no question on the floor just so they can get people to shut up, that sort of thing?
Well, they were just, I mean, they
I know what you're saying.
They got up and did what they did. So, you know, I don't quite understand why this is, maybe it's social media that's changed it, because
well,
there wasn't
social media, speaking of which, Ralph Smith had made a comment in a comment section, and it was about e-bikes, okay? The e-bike conversation is still going on. There are laws already surrounding gas-powered vehicles that the city of Marion refuses to enforce, and Mark Russell has been working on this e-bikes legislation for 9 or 10 months now. I don't know how hard it is to write an e-bike legislation, because other cities have them. I mean, I think he could probably just copy and paste and put City of Marion in where their locality name is. But, you know, whatever. He can't seem to come up with this piece of legislation. Maybe he's busy being buried in lawsuits is probably what it is. So we've got this e-bike legislation. I commented on it, like, why don't we just go ahead and enforce the gas bike-powered laws that we have now before we worry about writing any more legislation? Ralph Smith said to me, commented, I agree with you. What's the point of having legislation if we don't enforce it? And I said, look at us finding common ground. He said, we probably have more common ground than you think. I just don't like your delivery. I said, did you vote for Donald Trump? What's wrong with his delivery as compared to mine? Why are you okay with his but not mine? No reply.
Well, here's the thing.
Do you have an explanation for that?
Well, no, but it's kind of fascinating you bring this up. Because, a lot of people will say this doesn't mean, this sort of thing doesn't mean anything. But I want to talk about Casey Putch, who was on the show last week, running for governor.
I befriended somebody over him the other day.
Okay, well, this is a guy who, by all accounts, has made pro-Nazi remarks in the last week, and did a video in which he's talking about let's play Cowboys and Indians with Vivek Ramaswamy.
And then he says, don't worry, the arrow is not the dot.
Right. So, okay. Now,
referring to the dots that Hindus and Sikhs wear at times, not all, but some, between their, on their foreheads.
Right. But now here's the thing. Yeah. I know that there were a lot of city council people, or a few, that supported him because they are not big fans of Vivek Ramaswamy. Now,
they were in your live chat. I know who they are.
Right. So do they now after these remarks? Because, you know, at some point, somebody is going to have to decide what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And you know, for Matt and I had the big conversation.
He's made anti-Semitic remarks about Acton also.
Right, but I mean, you know, Friday, I don't know why Matt and I, this conversation does not sink in. I have been saying for a long time, and trust me, Vivek Ramaswamy would not pick me as his spokesperson, but, you know, the problem is that you cannot say that a lot of Vivek Ramaswamy's problem within the Republican Party is not derived from racism, and I think
it is. I didn't realize it. But go through these comment sections, boy, people are blatant about it, too. They don't even try to hide it.
Right, and Casey Putch certainly put an exclamation point, and if you continue to vote for Casey Putch after he makes these comments in a primary that's going to happen in 15 days, you know, I always said Casey Putch will not get 10% of the vote in Ohio, and I still don't think he will. But if he gets over 5% after making these comments so close to the primary, you know, that should tell people something about what's going on. And what will the vote be in Marion County? I think people should pay very close attention because I think it might be higher than 10% in Marion County. And is that just because they like Casey Putch and don't like Vivek Ramaswamy? I was looking up some statistics over the weekend. And I found it interesting that I was looking at this 86 district race. You know, when Tracy Richardson and Weslyn Davis had the primary the last time around, Weslyn did much better in Marion County than she did in Union County. Now, there are fewer votes in Marion County, but she did better. I mean, I think she was only 10% down in Marion County. The gap was far larger in Union County. And overall, she ended up losing by 20% when all the votes were counted. But, you know, I thought, isn't that interesting that the gap was much smaller in Marion County? Because what I have heard, you know, city council has endorsed her and so on and so forth. Well, I expect the gap to be much smaller in Marion County. I don't know why it wouldn't be. It was last time.
Yeah, and it kind of, I mean, I didn't have a really good gauge on this the last time. I'm just going to go sign-wise. But it seems like the people, sign-wise, that went for Richardson the last time have voted for Weber. It seems like it's going to be kind of, I'm predicting about the same numbers.
You know what I'm shocked? Well, and by the same numbers, Weslyn lost by 20% to Tracy Richardson.
I mean in Marion County. I think she'll probably win Union County also. Or he'll win, I think, Weber. Too many names. I think Weber will probably win Union County.
Well, this was, and Christian was the one who called in on Saturday night. This was the conversation we were having during the live
chat. How badly did she lose in Union last time?
20%? It was more than Marion, definitely more. Overall, okay. She lost the thing by about 20. And so that all being
said, I bet it'll be about the same.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I think Ben Weber is campaigning much harder in Marion, certainly more signs, commercials, things of that nature, than Tracy Richardson did. Now, maybe that was just because she was the incumbent, but I don't remember the amount of Richardson signs seen in Marion.
He is definitely, no, not by a long shot. He is definitely ground gaming, too. I don't follow her, so I don't know what she's doing, but he's out and about ground gaming, it seems like, 24/7 these days, too.
Well, and also, I am not a conspiracy theorist, but we were just...
Lies.
Well, here's an interesting thing. We got on the conversation of Stephen Wolf, and, you know, he's the third person in this 86 district race. And Christian and I were talking during this live chat on Saturday night about him, and Christian was talking about, well, why is this guy running? You know, he got in very late. He seems to have mostly the same beliefs that the other two have, and he's not campaigning super hard. So why did he get into this thing? What's the point? And it is kind of interesting when you go back and look at all of this. You know, Ben Weber did not show up to the Only Candidates Forum that happened. Now, I think there probably was a reason for that. But Stephen Wolf did. And for all the attacking going on now, and it's getting nastier by the minute between Weber and Weslyn.
And isn't some of it just so petty and silly?
It is, well, as some of politics is. But here's the thing about it. Is that, and some of these mailers, thank God I don't live in the 86th district, because these are just nasty mailers. But here's the thing.
I haven't gotten one.
Are you in the 86th?
Yes.
Oh, maybe you're not on...
I voted for Ben, remember?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But I wasn't a Republican until just the other day, so I probably wasn't in your demographic.
Well, here's the thing. The thing to me is that Stephen Wolf, okay, why is he in this? He showed up to that thing, and he, to my knowledge, has not attacked Weslin or Ben, and Ben and Weslin have not attacked him. As a matter of fact, I think, by all accounts, Weslin and Stephen got along fine at the candidates forum, and I think that she has even said nice things about him at times. Now, I don't know that Ben has done that. Maybe I just haven't seen it. But why is he in this?
Well, he must believe it's his purpose. Well, are you going thinking he's a Ross Perot? Is that what you're thinking?
Who would he take more votes from?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, you know...
I see some of his signs out and about, though. I don't see a lot of them, but I see some.
Right. So who would he hurt, though? I mean, who would he take more votes from? Is he more... because, first of all, what is the difference, beside the personality, between Ben and Weslin? When people are
Weslin's, sadly, to her detriment, because she's a woman, yes, I know Tracy Richardson is a woman. Tracy Richardson is a veteran. She's not blonde, and I know all of these things aren't supposed to matter, but they do. She's not, Tracy Richardson is reserved. She's more of a dignitary, and you know, do these things make sense? Am I coming out of left field on this one? Weslin is aggressive. She's blonde. She presents herself as, her appearance, you can tell, is important to her. I mean, she's well put together as far as her makeup. I think she wears heavy makeup. What I would explain is heavy makeup. She's a flashy dresser. I don't mean that in a bad way, but she wears nice clothing, but it's bright and colorful. Typically, you know, you see Tracy Richardson, she's more muted. She's wearing, you know, a pantsuit or something. It's not loud. It's not, look at me. So there's the contrast there, and Ben Weber kind of has that, you know, polo shirt and trousers and loafers kind of look to him, and that's what we tend to lean towards in a politician. I'm not saying that any of these things are should be deciding factors. I'm just saying that they are.
But what's the difference? What? Because for people who have made their decision, because...
So if you can't pick Baby Ben and you don't like Weslin, then you can go with Wolf.
Right, but
like
no,
if you can't pick Ben because he's a kid, and you don't like Weslin because she's blonde and wears red lipstick, then you can pick Stephen Wolf and not have to leave it blank.
But between Ben and Weslin, and the only thing I see criticisms are immigration and data centers, then what is...
Data centers are a big deal. We need to start paying attention to those in Ohio.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, are they not the same? I mean, I know they say they're not the same on this, but aren't they...
They're the same on basically everything else, pro-life, pro-this, pro-that. You notice nobody's talking about Donald Trump, though. None of them are talking about...
And you notice nobody's doing interviews either. Because, again, I think that's a hard thing to do right now with $4 gas prices. But I
that
just...
They said we'll likely not be below $3 by the end of, until after the end of the year.
Right.
I heard that on a Sunday morning show.
But I just, you know, I'm trying to figure out why Stephen Wolf is in this. Who's he going to pull votes from when the candidates are so similar? And what are the differences between these two candidates? You know, besides male, female at this point.
I think that the female factor will hurt Weslin when people are deciding on someone they don't know, because it might come down to that. Of course, at this point, if you don't know who those two are in this race. But no, the Wolf guy, I don't know enough about him to say who he would draw votes from. The only thing I could think of is that he's the alternative to Ben if you don't want Weslin.
Well, but I will say, and I think Christian said this as well, and I think this has been the prevailing wisdom, is that early on, I think Weslin's campaign peaked in December and January.
Yes. yes. And she came on early.
She came on early. And Ben came on not only late, but he came on strong. I mean,
well, I think he was laying the groundwork and sneaking and creeping and built the foundation and then all of a sudden launched.
All I'm saying is Ben Weber signed.
He was at candidates night in October for.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, for,
yes, he was.
Yeah.
But I
mean, he was working it back then.
But what I will say is Ben Weber signs stick out. They mm-hmm. are everywhere.
Have you noticed all of the other Republican signs in the county look the same except for Ben Weber's? The commissioners,
yeah.
Weslin's, they're all very similar. You have to really look to see what they say, except for the giant ones that say Weslin or Davis or whatever. But Ben Weber's are blue, and everyone else's are red and white, and his are blue. I mean, they have red and white on them, but they're very distinct compared to everyone else's, so that was good marketing on his part.
Yes, and he also, like I said, the commercial that he did, I thought was very strong and what he needed to do, and I think
he's working his Facebook angle really like every three times a day right now too.
And he goes out all the time. He's in these neighborhoods all the time, knocking doors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I was at the Harding dinner on Thursday, he stayed the entire time till the room was almost empty. He had a box of literature with him. You know, I didn't see that for. I didn't see Stephen Wolf there. Now he might have been there, but I just didn't see him. And like I said, Weslin, as soon as the show was over, she was out.
She might have hitched her wagon to the wrong stars a little too early. And Ben played it low and slow. And I don't know who's going to win, but I think the odds are in his favor.
Well, all I would say is in that room, she's probably not beloved by the majority. I mean, Tracy Richardson was in that room. Mayor Kellogg was in that room. Ben Weber's in that room. You know, there are some people who like her, but there are a lot of people in that party who are holding a grudge for things that she said.
Well, and so it goes, I suppose. Such is the nature of the beast. If she doesn't win, you think she runs again next time?
Well, yeah, I think she's very motivated to run for something. I think she's very motivated to win something. As I said at the beginning, because I thought the second time around she would have learned that divisiveness is not the way to go in this particular race. And that's the one thing I can say about Ben Weber, as I've said before. I don't
exactly.
think people see him divisively.
No,
I don't.
Not at all. That's why I was able to vote for him with a clear conscience. I did not feel bad about voting for him. I didn't feel like, ooh, I'm holding my nose and doing this. I don't have a reason to dislike the kid.
Well, if she doesn't win, and God knows anything can happen between now and then, if she doesn't win and she loses by the same margin that she lost last time, or maybe a little less or maybe a little more,
tell her something, shouldn't it?
Well, I really hope she sits down and looks at what she did during this campaign and realizes the errors that she made.
I really hope she doesn't owe herself $250,000.
Well, you know what? I brought that up early, and I still think that that's a major issue, because that should tell you, here was the point of that, I guess, that I thought people should have paid attention to, was the fact that where is the Republican Party lining up to give her money? And why does she have to do it this way? Nothing wrong with doing it that way, but why do you, because I don't think she...
I looked at it as you're willing to spend almost 4 years of the salary that she would be earning...
$250,000.
To get that job.
Right.
So that concerned me. When you're willing to spend three times the amount that you'll make there, or two times the amount that you'll make there, to get the job, that concerns me.
Well, and I think that was the other point in it, that this is what the salary is, just a little over $70,000, and you're spending $250,000 to get a job that's only going to pay $70,000?
For 2 years, right? It's a two-year term.
Two-year term.
Yeah.
So
you wouldn't even make half that back in salary.
No.
So, yeah, that concerned me.
And Ben, I don't know that he spent any money out of pocket, maybe some, but I don't think it's $70,000.
Well, you need to blackmail him with the story and find out.
Well, me and NBC News, we operate the same way. It's all blackmail. It's all... Well, that was another thing that, you know, God bless her. I know why she did it, but, you know, I don't think that won her a lot of fans among a whole lot of people. Maybe her group.
maybe her group.
Yeah.
And we'll see if her group will carry her through to the State House.
We shall see what happens. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Spirit.
All right, we're going to break.
S 1377 Marion Waldo Road. Marion Self Storage. Telephone number 220-6.